Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for the first episode of Subscription Survivor.
Pum, 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 pum.
Then I'm going to make you jump out of your socks.
Plus, an app to track your moods.
I'm in a happy mood because it's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Go to texture.com/twit to start your free trial today. We will cancel them on the beaches. We will cancel them on the highways. We will cancel... We're talking about subscriptions. They multiply like triffids. Hello, I'm Leo Laporte.
I am Megan Maroney.
And welcome to iOS Today, the show where we cover the iPad, the iPhone, the Apple Watch, and the Apple Watch, and the Apple TV, all the iOS devices in our lives. And today we're going to cut through the thicket, the hedge surrounding us. If you look at your bills, I don't know, maybe it's just me. You start looking at like your credit card or your bank statements and all these little $5 charges, and they really they like nibble away at you.
Death by a thousand subscriptions.
Yes,
that's what I call it.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about that and how to fix it.
Yes, I like to do this. Also, you know, it's still January. For a couple more days, it's a new year. Clean out the stuff that you're not using anymore and recognize the stuff that you are using and paying for. So first
of
all...
That's probably a good idea. This, you know, like do this on a yearly basis.
Yeah. Apple does not make it easy to find your subscriptions.
They do not, especially on the iOS devices. They almost kind of say you should really be doing this on your desktop, but not everybody has a Mac that they can do this with.
And we're just talking about the subscriptions that you do have on your iPad. So
these are your iOS space.
Yes. Yeah, so here's, you go to settings, and then you go to your Apple ID, and then you go to iTunes and App Store. And then here, you can't even tell that that's a button that you have to push. It doesn't look like it, right?
It doesn't have a
bracket.
But
that's what you have to do.
Look at that.
And then
you view
your Apple ID.
I honestly didn't think I could do that.
Then I get through Touch ID. And then you have to scroll down.
Jeez Louise.
And then you have to tap on subscriptions. And then you're there.
You can also do that, as I said, in iTunes on the desktop. And it may be a little bit easier to get there, although it's still kind of a hidden thing. That's on the negative side. On the plus side, they at least do list everything you've subscribed to on your iPad or iPhone and give you a very easy way of knowing what the subscription costs, when it's going to expire, and to cancel it. So let's do that together.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the top one, which for me is the Apple Music membership, family membership.
$14.99. Every single gosh darn.
So let's see. Does this one stay on the island or does this one stay off the island? Here's something that doesn't... I also subscribe to Spotify.
That's the question. Should you keep one or the other or both? That's a hard one. If you're going to get a HomePod, which I am in about a week, then you probably want to keep your Apple Music because Spotify doesn't yet work with it.
Right. Do you subscribe to Apple Music?
I do because of the HomePod.
Oh, you just subscribe?
And the kids prefer it.
Yeah, they do.
For some reason, the kids prefer it. I thought, you know, the first time they offered a family plan, I remember shouting as my daughter drove off, "Would you like me to subscribe to the family plan?" And she shouted back, "No, I have Spotify." Both the kids were Spotify fans, but I noticed that once I got the family plan on Apple Music, I got profuse thanks. I think this was because it was early on in Apple Music, and they didn't really... But now I think they're both iPhone users. All their friends use iPhones. I think they kind of want Apple Music.
Right.
The problem is if you're, you know, Apple Music with other hardware isn't quite a peer. Spotify's great on Sonos, for instance, but Apple Music's a little trickier to get going. things like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have, my house is littered with Amazon Echoes. So every time I want to listen to Apple Music, I have to pair them to my phone, which is fine. You just say pair Bluetooth and it pairs and then you can listen to. But the HomePod, you'll just be able to say, like, play my podcast for getting ready for iOS today, or play my...
your playlists and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, did I say podcast? I meant playlist. Yeah, play my playlist, or play that song that's on the soundtrack to Superman 2, or, you know, whatever you want. It'll just, ideally, we haven't tried it yet. I mean, I'm assuming that it's going to work. So that is something. And the other reason I keep it is just my kids have all their playlists in there. And then they say, no, I don't want to switch over.
I don't want to lose that.
Even though they also can, most of the music that my boys listen to is already on Amazon Prime, which we already pay for.
There's another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Google Music, Amazon Prime. I finally killed Spotify and Apple Music. The one thing I did do, with Spotify, you can subscribe in iOS. But then Apple takes a third of that. You know, anything you do in iOS, Apple takes a third of. And I felt bad for Spotify. I went to Spotify. They said the only way you can fix that is if you cancel your Apple subscription, then come to Spotify. And you probably should wait a little while so it all registers and get a new subscription. And I did the first part. And then I didn't really get around to getting the new subscription. So now I feel twice as guilty.
Well, I subscribed to Spotify because it came free with my New York Times subscription. So
do this, I get it free with my New York Times subscription?
I don't know. You should ask. It might have been just a promo deal. But I hardly ever use it.
Yeah. I like Spotify's sharing and playlists. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Spotify does, I don't think anybody else does, correct me if I'm wrong, is, and Andy Anako turned me on to this because he tweeted, I'm going to create a Spotify playlist, make it public, and I want you all to add the one song playlist. And it has hundreds of songs on it now that each person contributed their, like, all-time desert island. If I only had one song to listen to over and over, this would be it. It's a great and eclectic, I might add, playlist. And that's so cool that you can create a kind of community playlist like that. Can you do that on Apple Music?
I don't feel like you can. You can follow people.
I follow people. And that's one way to
follow you.
You can do that on Spotify. But you shouldn't follow me because I don't really use it that often.
I do get a lot of suggestions from the people I follow. Let's see if you can create a playlist.
A public playlist is such a good idea.
New playlist.
The problem is you can use Spotify for free and get a lot of the functionality. You just get some ads. There really isn't a free tier of Apple Music. You know, all you get for free is Beats One Radio, which isn't the best radio station ever. I feel like they dropped the ball on that one too. There were rumors for a while that Apple was going to create multiple genre, you know, there'll be Beats 2, 3, 4, 5, and they never really did that either. They have what they call radio, which is the same thing as a Pandora list, where it's just, you know, music of related types. But they don't have DJ, you know, hosted radio stations. That was a great opportunity for Apple. It's another case where sometimes Apple gets a great idea, they're all enthused about it, and then it just kind of dribbles off and they forget about it. And that's that. I guess this happens to all tech companies.
I mean, if I didn't have this and I didn't follow Rene Ritchie, how would I know about the Pokemon Gold and Silver classics?
That's exactly why I don't follow Rene. No, I do.
I'm sure that's him. But
you do want to find somebody who has really excellent musical taste and follow them. And there are you can follow celebrities, of course. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one. Remember the social network that Apple created along with this? Called? I don't even remember.
Then
you would follow artists. Uh-huh.
That's gone, I think.
Well, it's vestigially there because I still follow some artists.
Yeah, interesting.
It's just very, you feel like they're a big company, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Feels like they are. Feels like they might be the largest company in the world. Not in terms of employees, but in terms of revenue. Why don't they have a team dedicated just keeping all these features they announce alive and vibrant and exciting? Then I think Apple Music would be a more compelling deal. Instead, they're spending $1 billion to get TV shows that you can only watch on Apple Music. It's very confusing. It's a confusing strategy. Again, it's not Apple's not the only company. This seems to be endemic in Silicon Valley.
So we're keeping Apple Music. I think we are.
We're going to vote them on the island.
We're going to vote them on the island, but keep them. But with, they're not allowed to sleep in the tent.
We're going to keep our eyes on you, Apple Music. Yeah, you don't get to sleep in a tent. You're on the beach with the tiki torches.
Okay, what's next on your list?
Oh, I have so many gosh darn diggity dang subscriptions. Let's talk about Jib Jab.
Okay, Jib Jab.
This one is one. It tears me up. $2.99 a month, and it's a monthly subscription.
When did you last use it, Leo?
Well, that's the problem, is I want it every holiday. Like the Christmas, you know, I sent you this silly Christmas card. I want it on the holidays, that Valentine's Day, but I don't want it in between.
I say cancel your subscription.
I've done this several times.
Yeah, just get it at Christmas. You only want it at Christmas. Think about how much you're saving. That's $3 a month if you're only going to use it 1 month.
So how do I cancel it?
That's a good question.
It expires February 5th. Maybe I already canceled it.
Oh, look, you did.
I think I already canceled it.
On January 5th, you only have a few more days. So you already, that one's already off the island.
See, there's active and then there's inactive. And there's stuff, and you can see some of this inactive is actually on active, which is really confusing.
So I bet you unsubscribed to that when I mentioned this. You were like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I don't want to tell anyone I'm paying for Jib Jab, but then it's still there.
No, yeah, it's still there.
Okay, now, what about Bear?
Here's Bear. Now, this one is, the problem with this, and I do this a lot, because it's such a deal. So if you get 1 month, it's $1.49, but it's only $15 for a year. Bear is a great notebook program that I demonstrated a few weeks ago. And of course, when I bought the subscription.
But you're still on the free trial on there.
Oh, let's.
So you're free.
Because otherwise.
I know. Are you going to use
this? This is good. This is one reason why you want to do this. Mm-hmm. On February 1st, I'll be billed $15.
That's a couple days. Mm. I don't know. What is Bear again? It's for writing, for
organizing? It's a beautiful. I mean, I really like it. It's a beautiful notebook program. Let me just launch it so I can show you. That lets you. It's very pretty. And so it lets you, like I'm planning our trip to Japan, and it has this capability. You see the hashtags? That means I've created subfolders. It has to-do lists, you know, that you can check. It's very nice. In fact, I suggested this for your bullet journal if you ever want to move your bullet journal to a digital platform.
Okay, so what happens to all that work you've done if you cancel the subscription?
That's another thing one should investigate. I think in the case of Bear, it stays, but that's, you know.
Look at all the work you've done.
Yeah. I put a lot of, this was for the show, but I did put a lot of stuff in there. But I'll tell you what I did, and I think I mentioned this on the show. As pretty as Bear is, I decided to spend a lot more money, $150, on DevonThink Office Pro. And that's what I'm using now. I mean, I'll show you. It's not nearly as pretty, but I can use it. Actually, you know, you can use Bear on the desktop and everything as well. I don't know. This is not a subscription. As you can see, it's very similar. In fact, the same exact, you know, information's in there, probably because I cut and paste it, right? But it's not quite as pretty, you know? So this is the same, but see the to-dos, I can make those checks and stuff. It's not just, I don't know. Anyway, I decided this is an uglier tool, but I feel like a more powerful tool for me. For instance, you can import email directly into it and things like that. And Bear is kind of, it really is a personal choice. I'm going to vote Bear off the island.
Yeah.
I'm actually glad we did what we did, because now I know I just beat the deadline, right? In 2 days, I'm going to cancel the trial. If you end your trial now, you could still access it to February 1st. I'm sorry, Bear. I'm sorry. Boom. Voted off the island.
Okay. All right. I'm next. Here's one password.
Okay. Now, do you use another password manager?
I use LastPass.
Because we offer all our employees LastPass. Mm-hmm. We pay for it because we use it for the business. 1Password is excellent.
Right.
But it's probably you, like me, you were reviewing it.
Mm-hmm. This one expires February 4th.
You don't want 2Password
managers. No, I don't think you do. That's really complicated. So
1Password you could argue, works a little bit better maybe on iOS. It's a little more natural because you get the little lock in the fields and stuff. But if you've already got LastPass for free from the company, If you didn't get it for free, I'd say 1Password, especially for iOS users, is probably a better choice.
Are you going to fire me in the next month or two?
No.
Okay, thank you. You guys heard it here. So I think I'm voting 1Password off the island. It's a perfectly good password manager.
But you know what? These calculations, these survivor calculations are complex. They're fraught.
They are.
Fraught with peril.
Because I don't have, I learned recently Jason Howell pays for the account. His own LastPass account, so he keeps them separate. But mine are all just jumbled right in there together.
You can keep it separate.
And you still pay for that?
And we'll still pay for it. So you can have your LastPass, and you can have it be part of your enterprise folder so that all your passwords are available to you, your work passwords and your LastPass. They're two separate password vaults. They just are all showed up together. So that's actually a nice feature of LastPass. Yeah. If your company uses And there's company versions of 1Password as well. So if your company, you should inquire if your company uses one, if they will pay for your personal edition too. And if they don't, you should say, well, Leo does.
And they should invest in that. That's like paying for the health account. I mean, health club, which you also do. Stuff.
We want to nudge you in the direction of good behaviors.
Right.
That's why we also, each of you get a carton of cigarettes a month, I believe, right? Yeah. But more for trading than for smoking. It's like prison, basically.
It is. Yeah. Okay, so 1Password.
It's currency here in Twit.
Free trial. So
I think it's time.
Yeah. So now, again, I don't know how to do this. Select an option to resubscribe. How do I?
Oh, you see, you're not resubscribing, so it will run out.
It's expiring. Okay.
It's expiring.
So I did that too. Yeah. So let's just.
Here's one. Okay. You talked about health.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one where I bought a year.
Really? With Aptiv? I have that too, but I haven't used it at all.
And I haven't used it yet. but I have a health club membership, and I've terminated it as of the end of February because Aptiv is a trainer in a box. So you tried a whole bunch of them.
I did. I have.
And you have decided not to go with Aptiv, I think.
Well, I haven't tried Aptiv yet because I'm still on my free subscriptions. We'll get to that after. So tell me about, you haven't used it at all.
No. In fact, it's not even installed in my iPad, apparently.
Well, it's more on my iPhone. Listening, right?
Like, yeah, the idea is you put your headphones in, and then a guy starts talking to you, or a gal, and saying, okay, and you pick. I have it
on mine. I installed it, at least. Bored with your cardio.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a good question.
But they have all sorts of routines, which is really cool.
Would you sign up through Facebook or through email? What would you do?
I always do email, and I'll tell you why. And I encourage people to do this, too, for several reasons. First of all, when you sign up through Facebook, you're giving Facebook information.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier. There's also sign up with Google in some cases, sign up with Twitter. It's easier. You're not always giving that company information. You're just using them for single sign-in. But here's the real reason. Because I have lately been deleting Facebook and Twitter and Google, well, not Google account, but Google Plus from my devices. By the way, life is better without Facebook on your device. So I can still do it. I didn't get rid of my account. I still do it on my computer, but I don't want to be waking up and looking at Facebook. So once you delete Facebook from your phone, as I have, a Facebook login is less than useless. You actually have to log into Facebook and then you get a log. So I say use email. Okay. It's not much harder at first, and then it's permanent.
And then Facebook doesn't have to know every app that you're using.
Yeah,
and
I don't think it's a good idea.
They know you're looking at a fitness program. Who knows what kind of ads they're going to try to sell you?
So you can find a workout. This is Aptiv on my phone. Outdoor running, treadmill, elliptical. What I'm interested in, what I use a trainer for, is strength training. And so you can get, they tell you, like this one uses weights, like little dumbbells. Full body with weights. It's 19 minutes. It's got hip-hop music. Sultan's the trainer. Michael do hip-hop. Jump in, walk out. That's just your body. No weights required. That's an 8-minute. Push, pull, and press. Look at all of these. These are all real people. Shall I play one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have it hooked up to my... this is a medicine ball workout. So you have to have a medicine ball. She has music. This is Jessica. Let me turn it all the way up.
We have a medicine ball workout.
She sounds just like you, by the way.
I'm going to try to explain everything as clear and as simple as possible.
So there's no video. This is in your ears.
With all these workouts, and this might be your first medicine ball workout. Who knows? You'll love the medicine ball. So
do you have a medicine ball at home?
Add some weight, add some challenge.
It's a heavy ball.
basically. It's like a bowling ball, but it's got weights in it.
Size medicine balls, and by size, I mean a few different weights. So grab one that you know you can lift over your shoulder, so maybe something between 5 and 10 pounds.
You can see it's very, I mean, this is...
to that weight. So we've got squats and lunges. So you're going to hold that medicine.
So I think this is a really neat idea. It's a trainer in a box. You saw the price. It's a little pricey. It's $100 a year, but it's still less than a gym.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm going to try this because we have a lot of equipment at home. And so I'm going to try this just to see if I – the real question is the reason I use a trainer is because you have an appointment and they're standing there waiting for you at the gym. And so it kind of – you know, you kind of have an obligation to show up. But if I can do this daily – I think it'll be better. Plus, they have a really big variety. I mean, this is just one of many, many, many classes. You could favorite the classes you want. So, you know, canceling the trial would be silly. This is going to continue. Oh, I'm in the free trial. Oh, okay. So I haven't paid the $100 yet, I guess. So February 13th, my free 1 month ends. Mm. A couple more weeks to decide whether I'm going to go for that $100. I'm going to keep it. I like this, and I think this is going to be good. But, you know, you and I both, we need to use it mm-hmm. between now and the end of our one-month free trial. So this is another reason to go through these subscriptions.
Yeah. So I'll tell you one that I have been using pretty regularly and that I'm also on the free trial with, and that's Daily Burn, which I've shown before. And this is a similar.
Love Daily
Burn. Video.
Yeah.
It's video.
And can you do this on your Apple TV?
I can do it on my Apple TV, yes.
So that's kind of, sometimes people want to watch. Like if I've done personal training for 20 years, so I pretty much know the form. Mm-hmm. I know, I know pretty much anything they're going to throw at me I've done before. But if you don't, you need to see it on TV to know if your form is critical.
Yeah. I like Daily Burn and I have been doing it. They have usually three people. They have like three different modifications. So I have,
nice.
Like if you're doing push-ups, it's like push-ups on your knees.
Yeah. They have the Leo model. That's just going like this.
Yeah. And then they have like regular push-ups and then push-ups with one leg in the air. Well, have you ever done that?
No.
I love the instructors. They're silly. And
see, I like that. I didn't get a lot of silliness from Aptiv.
And there's all kinds of programs like, dance, which I would never do. Yeah. Let me, find one black five. Oh, La Blast. This is what I did yesterday. I love this
Blast.
Guy.
Or maybe LA Blast.
And we'll just watch a.
Is he French?
I think it's LaBelle. I don't know what he is.
Oh,
but
he's definitely French. Look at him. That's a Frenchman.
I'm Louis Van Amstelen. This is La Blast.
I cannot believe it. I'm a Frenchman doing the dance.
Hey. As a former three-time world dance champion and Emmy-nominated choreographer.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Why are you not doing it?
You do not want to see me.
You're alone. You dance like no one's watching.
It's like Will Ferrell. Hello, this is a joke.
I'm sore this morning from doing this yesterday.
I will feel silly doing this all alone in front of the TV.
Full body workout.
Why? Nobody's watching.
I don't mind it, believe it or not, if there's other people. I do not mind it.
Yeah, that's your thing. You like to perform.
I'm
but
performer.
If no one's watching, you can't
I don't
perform.
Want to. I sit down on the couch with
you
my energy.
Feel like you've gone around the world and back.
Let's
oh.
The Cuban way.
These high
oh,
energy
Lord.
Dances
no,
are
this would...
perfect for all ages.
You know, ironically, if this were a real person in a real class, I'd probably dig it.
Yeah. That's the
I would feel so silly doing this alone in my living room. I couldn't do it.
I love it. I feel like
see this is
I,
how you and
like,
I differ.
Yeah, I mean I can't even. There's like salsa moves. There's African dance.
I want to do this one.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So if you are
it's
like
very
me,
Will Ferrell to me,
and you
see,
enjoy
I look at
dancing
it thinking, oh,
like
God.
No one's watching, because no one is watching, then try this.
How much is that one?
This is $9.99 a month.
Oh, see, that's expensive. I bet it's got the $100 tier, though, for a year.
Probably, yeah.
So that's why I commit. I'm going to commit to a year. I should try this, though, too.
Yeah, try this. And you can, you know, cast it to your
TV,
AirPlay. Yeah.
Or speakers, if you just want to hear the
right, if you just want to hear.
Accent.
Or there's an app. I use the app on the Apple TV.
Daily Burn.
Daily
You're going to keep that one.
Burn. I'm keeping this one. I am definitely
now I have
keeping
a really tough
burn.
One. So a lot of times I'll subscribe to newspapers and magazines through iTunes. Mm-hmm. And again, I always feel guilty because I remember, you know, they get 30% less than if you do it directly. But at the same time, it's just so darn convenient. You know, you'd use your Face ID, it's paid, or your Touch ID. So here's one I did not need. Because I already have it in Texture, the New Yorker. But I love the New Yorker, and I kind of want to support them. So I bought a year, $60, though, for 52 issues. It's a buck an issue, plus. And there are some things you get if you subscribe directly to the magazine that you don't get if you use Texture. I can't remember what those are. There's an app. There's a New Yorker app. There's not really much. Truthfully.
So you're supporting journalism.
I'm doing it more to support. Honestly, it's like a donation because I don't need it because I have Texture. It's like a donation. And there are a few things I do that with. I do the New York Times, the Washington Post. There are a few magazines that I pay for, even though I probably don't need to, just because I want to encourage them to keep doing journalism. Right. Yes,
I think that's important. Do you do the crossword puzzle, the New York Times crossword puzzle?
That's one of the main reasons I subscribe to the New York Times, believe it or not, is the crossword puzzle. Although, if you want full access, you pay extra, but you at least get a daily puzzle.
Yeah.
I love the crossword puzzle.
Yeah. My dad is a daily crossword puzzle.
And it's nice on the computer.
Yeah.
The New Yorker app, which, you know, you do have to subscribe. I guess you can use the New Yorker app. I also don't have it on here. I have it on my phone, but which is weird. You'd think I'd have it on here. But again, I have Texture. Oh, there it is. I do have it here. It's the New Yorker today. If you subscribe, and this is probably what happened is that I subscribed. Oh, no. See, it doesn't even know I subscribed.
That's what I've noticed with a lot of these. It's confusing, especially if you have signed up with Facebook versus signed up with another service.
I can sign in, I guess. Yeah, this is why when you subscribe to Apple, this is a real problem for me. When you subscribe in Apple, it's sometimes other things don't know you've subscribed. Like I have an Android phone. How do I tell it? And it's you know, associated with your Apple account. It's very, here it doesn't know.
But it just knew in your settings. It's saying you're paying for it.
Yes. Link subscription, is that?
Link your subscription, yes.
Link your subscription and sign up. If you subscribe through a partner like Apple, call 800-444. See, I don't want to call an 800 number. This drives me nuts. So I, in fact, can't really get full access to this app, even though I am paid up through, you know, whatever. I don't know. That's why I generally, it's convenient. You know what? I'm going to cancel this one because I'm not getting any benefit from
it. You just killed journalism, Leo.
Renews April 28th. I don't care. Bye-bye. Oh. Boom. Dead. Because I have it in Texture.
Yeah.
And it didn't even tie it into the...
Goodbye. Island. We need a gong. Okay, so there's a couple more that I've talked about that I'm keeping. Yoga Studio, Texture, of course. Here's the ones that have expired. So let's go through these that have already been kicked off the island. I tried something called Healthy, Happy, Smart Weight Loss Meal Plans, which it was a website that
was
like...
Isn't this depressing? This is the island of dead subscriptions.
Yeah, it would put all the, you know, you would find a meal and then I would put all of the recipes into your shopping list and let you shop. But I found that they weren't as healthy as I wanted them to be, and they weren't, and you can buy that. I mean, you don't need to pay for that. Some other ones that didn't end up, Filmstruck. This one I liked, but I just didn't use.
I never watched it. Yeah, I really love Filmstruck. Yeah, I pay for that still.
You do?
I keep thinking I'm going to watch those movies because they have the Criterion Collection. I really love Filmstruck. But, you know, I'm lazy, and the problem is I don't have Filmstruck. I probably should put it on my Apple TV or my Roku, and then I would watch it. But right now, I only have it on the iPad.
That was because I liked that you could search by director.
It's weird movies. It's not like first run movies. It's you know, it's like if you want to see The Bicycle Thief, great. But I truthfully, most of the time, I think I'm going to want to see The Bicycle Thief. What a great movie that was. But I don't. I end up watching Batman Part 2.
I put Filmstruck and the Healthy Meal Plans and maybe even
Aptiv. They go together.
They're all in the same thing of like the hope you have for yourself. Like, oh, yes, I am going to watch, you know, the best movies.
That's why this is depressing.
I am going to eat the best food.
Yeah.
I am going to exercise and I'm going to subscribe and pay money towards that and then forget about it.
I'll show you a couple more. Duolingo. I gotta do this back again because I want to learn Japanese. Now, Duolingo has a great free tier But it's not cheap. It's kind of expensive. But I'm going to Japan in April, and I need to practice my Japanese. So I want to bring that one back. This
is
in the
island
of...
I'm going to bring that back, too.
Yeah, the island of lost subscriptions. Here's one that all I know is it's a smiling cat and says premium subscription. But it doesn't say what the...
You don't even know what that is?
It doesn't say what it is. What is the smiling cat? Premium subscription. I don't even know. I think maybe they went out of business. I don't know. I don't even know what it is anymore. So that's how Major League Baseball pet catchers and pitchers report in a few weeks. That one I just save until, you know, I renew that. You see, it's February. I renew it in March. Privacy Star was really cool. The idea of this was it blocks spam calls. But now all the phone companies do that. You know, you see that now, scam likely.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need that anymore.
I had one of those too. It was called Nomo Robo.
Nomo Robo is good too. But again, yeah. I'll tell you a couple of things I do subscribe to that I'm going to keep doing. Full Contact. That one of these days I'm going to make that an app cap. That's a contact manager you pay for. What? Why would you pay for it? $100 a year, and I bought a year. Well, I have to say the advantage of it is, I really like it. It's, merges it all together, deletes duplicates. It lets you take pictures of business cards, and then a human is one of the things you're paying for. We'll make it a contact for you, and they always do a perfect job as opposed to the automated versions. So that's how do I get out of this now?
You're stuck. Can't you cancel or about? I don't know.
No. That's okay, Apple. Thank you. But this is one of the things I don't like about iOS is you need a back button.
Mm-hmm. Wait, there should be a back button at the top. There's not?
There's no way out. I'm trapped in this.
Mine has a back button.
I even pressed this and renewed it. It looks like the only thing I can do is cancel it, which I don't want to do. Okay, that's just a bug. You know, by the way, we're going to talk about this in news. Apple says we're going to fix these.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you go on because I can't do anything now.
I just want to...
I can only cancel.
I want to put in a good word for subscriptions.
I like subscriptions.
Because they, you know, even though we, you know, it's your responsibility. Go in there and look at what you're paying for. And they do pretty easily let you cancel them. And that's better than paying like $50 for an app right off the bat that you're never going to use, right?
I agree.
Even $20 for an app that you're never going
to
use.
It's a good way to do free trials, which Apple doesn't really allow in the App Store. So I think you could see we both have many.
And if you see it, like you're talking about Facebook, which you've deleted.
Yeah.
No one's ever asked you to pay for Facebook. There's never been a subscription. No. There never will be.
No.
But it makes you feel not so great about it. And on Triangulation on Friday, I talked to Max Stossel, who's part of Time Well Spent, which is an organization of people that are...
Facebook is not time well spent.
Yeah, they're devoted to trying to make tech leaders change the way that technology is designed. And the way it's designed is to keep your attention for as long as possible.
Yes.
And one of the examples of a good app that he brought up was Duolingo, because you use it, you feel good. You're doing something, you're paying for a subscription. You know, it's still a great technology. It makes, you know, the design is well intentioned. And, you know, after you spent, no one says, oh, I just spent the last half hour on Duolingo and I feel so bad about myself. No one ever says that. They might feel bad for not doing Duolingo because they want to learn a language, but they're not, you know, it's an app that makes you feel good. And a lot of these are that because they're not dependent on how much time we're spending. They're getting our subscription fee, whether we use it or not.
Yeah. Duolingo. Got to renew that one.
Yes, I'm going to renew that one too. All
right. Thank you. I think this was a valuable exercise. And, you know, folks at home, really, you got to go through those.
Yes. Tell us what you are keeping. Tell us why you love your subscriptions. We'll check them out too.
And as hard as Apple makes to get to this, at least they do it. Because otherwise, outside the Apple universe, you got to go look at your bill. And by the way, I do recommend that too. And look at your credit card bills or your bank, however it is that you usually do subscriptions. You'll be surprised how many things you're paying for that you're not using.
Right. They just renewed they just upped my Netflix subscription. I just got an email.
Yeah, we all got
$10.99.
But see, there's another example where I'm a T-Mobile subscriber, so I have free Netflix. So one of these days I gotta sit down and go through all this stuff. I need to connect my Netflix to my T-Mobile account, and then I think I won't have to pay for it, but I might be wrong, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
You know, there's another one I really need to cancel. And it's not on here. It's frustrating. Is it that Bond thing where I sent you, you're the only one who's ever received a faux handwritten letter from me.
Yeah, that.
$5 a month.
Is that in your subscription?
No. It's just a subscription I paid for.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it's nice to have the iOS subscriptions. Because now I have to figure out what credit card I used. I see it every once in a while floating across my transom. I go, oh, God, I've never used that again.
Yeah. We should go through your credit card bill next week.
Can we do that?
Yes, let's do that for sure.
Lisa does it. She does it like she'll tell me, you're still paying for that Bond thing. She really mocks that. You're never going to use that. She's right.
And you'll say, yes, I am. And then you don't.
I want to write handwritten, faux handwritten thank you notes.
With we all
else's,
do. We
somebody
all
else's
do.
Handwriting.
So a subscription we're both keeping. Texture. Our sponsor.
Well, you saw. It saves me money, right? I get the New Yorker. I don't have to. I just turned off my New Yorker subscription because I have Texture. I love Texture. 200. It's kind of, think of it as Netflix for magazines, but it's cheaper. 200 plus of the world of the world's premium magazines for $9.99 a month. You get Time, you get it, The Atlantic, PC Magazine, The New Yorker, The National Geographic. And what I love about Texture is not only do you automatically get all those magazines, right? You can favorite the ones that you really like so that you will have them automatically downloaded. You can see I'm automatically downloading. I just favorite them by starring them. Here's my Texture. So these will automatically download. Consumer Reports, Adweek, because that's the business we're in. I would probably not subscribe to Adweek ever in a million years, but having it is great. Dwell, we both look like looking at houses. Mother Jones, so I can see what the lefties are up to. People, because, well, then I can see what the Kardashians are up to. Rolling Stone, Sever. There's a bunch of cooking magazines. In fact, this is great. I mean, cooking magazines are great because you can look at beautiful pictures and get great ideas for dinner and recipes. But there's so many of them that you probably don't want to subscribe. One Texture subscription for $9.99, you've got access to all of them. And images in Texture are great because unlike a printed magazine, you can zoom in and see the details and say, I am not cooking that. That's disgusting. So... whoa, that was not an attractive dinner. But then, see, now I know. Then I know. I am a huge fan. Let me go back to the other thing I love about Texture, which is the highlights. So because they know, you know, you've got 200 magazines, you might miss some stuff. They highlight stuff that you might want to read. And some of it, by the way, is based on your interests. So an insider's guide to the Bay Area from Food Network. It would be not just the Bay Area, but Bay Area Eaten. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? What else? My mouth is watering. New and noteworthy stories. 25 products will change your life from Marie Claire. I'm always looking for new cosmetics.
Are they going to change your life or just my life?
Your life. Okay. Eric Roberts on regaining trust with his sister Julia. Aww. Daily news. If you're interested in politics, and nowadays who isn't, every angle is covered, and you can just find out what's going on. Bruno Mars triumphs at the Grammys. Jay-Z, the biggest loser. Gotta read that. Gotta read that. Top 10 reads for me. For me. There's collections too. State of the Union is coming up tonight. There's a collection of 6 stories there. Ronda Rousey joins the wrestling. What? Find out more about that. Kesha, she's rising up. She was amazing on the Grammys. And, of course, my boy Bruno. My boy Bruno Mars. What did he get? Record of the year? Song of the year? Album of the year? Bruno, baby. So, let's recap. 200-plus magazines. The best magazines in America. All of them. The entire newsstand issue plus back issues, every page, and it's just $9.99 a month, but I got an even better deal. Go right now to texture.com/twit and try it free. See how you like it. National Geographic History. Love that. Love that. Interview magazine. There's always a Macworld, right? You're going to want to read that. Make magazine. Get some ideas for making. Maxim. Get some other ideas. Money, Mother Jones, National Review. It's all in there. Texture.com/twit. 200 magazines.
That's a lot of magazines and not a lot of magazine stacks.
Yeah, and it's free to try if you decide to buy, $9.99 a month. Texture.com/twit.
All right, I'm going to give you a little do not disturb tip. Okay?
Yeah, I need it.
Scooter X in the chat room showed me this a couple weeks ago. So let's turn on your do not disturb. Do you know how to do that in your settings?
I do that, and I usually forget to do that. So I'm going to turn it on right here. You go to settings, do not disturb, turn it on, then I won't get any more calls from my daughter.
But the other thing is that you obviously knew this already, but Scooter X had to show me. Under silence, it says always or when iPad is locked.
I say always.
So, yeah, always, because I had it on while iPad is locked. So when I was using the iPad showing you guys something, then I would get,
Here's allow calls from everyone, no one, contacts, family, VIPs, no one. Repeated calls. Now, if you turn this on, this is like, I need to take this call. It's an emergency because my kid's stranded. Mm-hmm. You can say a second FaceTime call from the same person within 3 minutes will be put through. I turn that off also. There's no emergency so important that it should interrupt iOS today.
It's too bad that they only let you do quiet hours. They don't say like Tuesday from 9.
Well, you can do scheduled. But it's very limited.
Yeah, you can't do it.
It's
just Tuesdays.
Basically all day.
Right.
So I do. But you notice I do 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. I don't want to be bugged.
Yep. That's good. That's
in
smart.
Those times. And the problem with it, the reason you want to do that is because Do Not Disturb does not stay on. Somehow, at some point, it comes back. Because I turn it on every iOS today.
And then you never turn it off and it always comes
back. It always comes back. Huh. I don't know what the rule is for that. Maybe after 24 hours.
Okay, so we haven't discussed your HomePod buying experience. Did you stay up, or did you just do it?
I was gonna when we were taking a little day trip, Lisa and I,
for our anniversary
and birthday. Yeah, so we were up in Napa in the wine country, and I did it around noon. Wandered into the Apple Store online and picked one up. I asked Lisa, "What do you want? Silver, steel, gray?" She said, "You know my answer, steel gray." Mm. Ordered it. $370 after tax later.
So you just ordered one.
Yeah. It was easy. In fact, I bet you could do it right now. Hmm. Are they sold out?
I don't know.
Should we try?
Go ahead and order one.
I
should definitely
try. You need to order one.
Okay. Let's.
So I did it the way I think is the best way to do it, which is on iOS, go to the Apple Store.
Apple Store. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. There are no items in my bag.
My favorite. I still have that favorited from...
But you got it, so you don't need it.
Oh, yeah, I don't. Well, I might need another one, don't you think?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Oh, look, here it comes. It's on its way. it's on its way. Here comes my HomePod. Oh.
Okay, so you got the space gray, so then I should get the white.
I said steel gray.
Yeah, space gray. Do we need Apple Care for it?
No.
Okay.
What are you going to take it somewhere?
Oh,
now you need Apple Care for it. You just knocked it off the table. No, sorry. I think it'll be heavier than that.
Thank you, John.
Throw that back. John, run.
Don't do this. Your HomePod.
Ah!
We need Apple Care for this.
Okay, I've been watching a little too much. Getting ready for the Super Bowl.
All right.
A little too much NFL.
Add this to my bag and buy it before you change your mind.
You want one? Do you want one?
Let me add a gift message. Dear Megan,
congratulations.
You're a winner. A great employee. Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Your
boss.
Friend.
Your friend.
Megan. Save message. Okay. Bye with Apple Pay.
I love this part.
My message exceeded.
Your message was too long?
Oh, wait. I signed it from me.
Yeah. You did sign it from you. Apple noticed that. Apple said you can't send yourself a message.
Bye with Apple Pay.
This I love. We now know where
Megan I used to live.
Used to live. Don't. Well, stop. Okay. Don't send it there. Change that.
Oh, jeez.
She just said, "Oh, yeah, that looks good." So, is it going to your old place?
Yeah. Now, what do we do? Cancel.
Anyway, the good news is. There's not a shortage of these suckers.
Okay, yeah.
What a shock. Apple announced when they announced these, they're really not ready. But we're going to sell them anyway. You can't put them in stereo pairs. It doesn't have multi-room sound. No AirPlay 2 yet. But don't worry. We'll get around to it.
Okay, someone remind me to cancel that. Because the people that bought our house are not that nice.
And they're going to get a brand new HomePod from Megan.
All right. Sorry. Should I do that now?
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Because you know, you don't know how long it'll... It won't come to February 9th, so it's a week from Friday.
So they haven't shipped
You probably
it
have time to cancel it.
Yeah.
But there we just proved you can still get them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have one. I'll give you a review on the new screensavers on the 10th, February 10th. I'll get it a week from Friday. We'll get to hear it, compare it to a Sonos. I'm going to compare it to the Sonos One, which is their Amazon Echo-enabled Sonos. It's roughly the same size. I think that's kind of a head-to-head comparison. Because one thing about the HomePod, it has Siri in it. Another thing, and we mentioned this earlier, it really only works with Apple's own music system, Apple Music. So if you're not an Apple Music user, this probably is of limited value to you. I subscribe to Apple Music just so I can play that music. But now I'm stuck because my kids love it. So while Megan cancels her HomePod...
Hold, please.
Up close. A lot of reviewers now are getting them. I imagine Renee will have gotten one. There's Lance Ulanoff of Mashable writing, for some reason, in Medium. His review in Medium, which is interesting. Mashable got sold, didn't it? I think
it did.
Maybe that's one of the reasons he's not writing this in Mashable. You know, it's interesting. Apple just still sent him one. Even though, you know, it's I love Apple's policies. Here's what's interesting. See that? There's the HomePod. So it has. See the top part is the woofer, the bass unit. It's firing up because bass isn't directional. But around the bottom, those are 7 tweeters, the high and mid range units. That is high end, of course, is directional. That's how you locate sound, is from the high end, not the low end. That's why you could put a subwoofer anywhere in the room. But the speakers have to be precisely positioned. By putting the tweeter all the way around the bottom of the HomePod, they say they can beamform. They can control the sound. For instance, if you've put it in a corner, they're not going to fire the sound backwards. They're going to fire it out into the room. And there's there are Ray microphones in there that can not only hear your voice for Siri, but apparently adjust the audio from the HomePod based on its location. We will absolutely test that one out. Don't think it'll beam. I don't think it'll have a way of knowing where you are. So, that would be interesting if you sat somewhere in the room. If it would aim the, it could theoretically, because of the 7 tweeters, aim the sound at you. But I don't think it'll do that. Maybe we'll find out week from Friday.
All right. That was a close one.
Did you cancel it?
No.
Can you cancel it?
No, it said your order is being processed. Uh-oh. Check back later.
Congratulations, so. Megan's neighbors. When you bought that house, you didn't know you'd also be getting a lot of home electronics sent to you randomly.
All right. The other big news is the Strava. Strava is a running and biking app.
A lot of people use it. We've talked about it.
Yeah, I use it. And the first thing I did when I turned it on was make it private so that everyone wouldn't be able to see where you were going.
Yeah, because it's got GPS. It's in your phone. And it knows where you are. And that's nice when you get home because you can see the map of where you ran.
And you can still do that and not share it with the world or anyone.
But one of the reasons people like Strava, you share your workout data with me. I get their little rings closing every day.
Well, you haven't because I haven't
you
been wearing
have
my
an
Apple
iPhone
Watch.
Anymore.
I've been wearing my Chinese fake Apple Watch.
It looks just like a real one.
Doesn't it?
You fooled me.
Okay, let's after we talk about Strava, I'll talk about my fake
so
Apple
it turns
Watch.
Out a lot of military love to run with Strava and have neglected to put themselves in private mode. So you can look at maps and you can pretty much see even bases that are supposedly abandoned, like in Afghanistan. Oh, we don't have any military there.
Yeah, so it wasn't that you couldn't connect it to like Joe Schmo in the Marines is here, but it was they created this heat map so you could see where just people were using the app. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Here's where people are using the map.
And it's mostly military in this case. These are
well,
all army
in
bases.
Syria, yes. Yeah. And so, yes, one smart person just looked and said, oh, you know, this information seems like it might be something we wouldn't necessarily.
You know, it's interesting, though, in the Pentagon, it's dark. And I don't know what we're seeing now. We're seeing a base. Oh, this is the New York Times story about this. So the Pentagon, if you go look at the Pentagon map, you can see the Pentagon, and there's no Strava lines inside. And I thought, oh, well, there's not nobody's running around the Pentagon. Greg Farrell yesterday on Twit said, no, no, it's radio proof.
Oh.
Of course it is. It's hardened. So no signals are escaping from the Pentagon.
You're
but you can see all those Strava lines around it as people run around the outside.
And I have some friends that work in D.C., have worked in the White House, and you're not allowed to wear Apple Watches. You're not allowed to wear Fitbits. They don't let you wear those things.
Well, the military has announced that, thanks to this report by the New York Times, they're going to have emphasize new rules about this kind of thing, as they should. I don't think it's a massive breach of security, but they're gonna have new rules.
Well, it's good. I mean, just if you have a sensitive job, don't share this information. That's just something that...
I wonder, so if you put it in private, you just can't see it.
If you can't see it yourself?
Yeah.
Or they don't share it? I think you can see where you've run yourself.
But see, I'm wondering, and so go back to that tweet, because Strava said we're sharing our heat map, 13 million points. It may be private in the sense that we don't know who it is. But it might include even privately shared. I bet you that's what it is.
Oh.
Privately shared information. And for this, Strava really is more to blame, if you ask me.
Mm. Then
Why do they release that?
Whether it's personal responsibility to turn off those things or to not use apps like that?
Well, I think it's both. I think for OPSEC, operational security... For OPSEC, you probably should prohibit the use of these beaconing devices. But, you know, your cell phone does the same thing. And, you know, a cell phone company could release that kind of data, too. Look at our heat map of all of our users.
Yeah.
And that would be wrong. So I think a little bit of blame goes to Strava for putting this out. They probably thought, well, it's anonymized. But anonymization isn't the total. Well, I mean, look, those pictures... Those are satellite map pictures you can see anyway. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can't go to Google Earth and see these pictures. Right? Come on.
Well, I think this is one
so
of
So now we know people are running around.
Yeah. I think it is. This is one of the big technological questions of our time. Is it our own personal responsibility or the company's personal responsibility?
Well, in this case, it's a mix. But
both. I think in most cases, it's both.
Yeah.
Like, we have to have personal responsibility with the devices that we use, and companies need to be responsible in creating the technology and releasing this information.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's true.
Okay, so can I show you my fake Apple Watch?
Yeah, it looks really real. It's a little different, though. If you look carefully, you might kind of tell.
Right now, it's buzzing, and I will tell you that the nice little haptic feel that you get from the Apple Watch
is more like a click.
it's sort of like a shock that you, like a Pavlovian.
Apple made it more like a tap. That's what they call it, the taptic engine.
So the screen looks a little bit like, I don't know how you can see it, but it's like a pebble. A little bit, like the...
Like the e-ink.
Yeah, and you can tap it or press the buttons.
And it won't respond.
It's going through my Gmail. So that's what the... You can't really... There aren't very many watch faces. $75.
Well, that's a lot less than an Apple Watch. It's about a quarter of the price, right?
Xiaomi.
But Xiaomi makes it?
Yeah, it's called WeLoop, but I think it's a subsidiary of Xiaomi. That's what from my research. But
well, now you have a Chinese surveillance device.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it comes with these different... these different bands, and it has a 30-day battery life. They just sent me it yesterday, so I can't confirm that it really has a 30-day battery life. And it doesn't even like use up the whole part of the screen, which I think is weird. But again, Jason has my Apple Watch.
So you have no choice.
You're
stuck.
I tried your, LG Sport thing.
He's like Flava Flav's, you know, clock. I mean, it's giant.
It's giant. It's heavy. It doesn't even last till noon. And I haven't even tried to make calls with it or anything. Like, I just think...
That's because it's old. It lasted all day before.
Is it old? I think it's like a year. I don't even know if it's a year old.
Yeah,
no,
can't
I think
really
I
recommend
do.
It.
I think the problems with, you know, what iOS does well is it optimizes battery life for different apps. I think
great battery life on my Series 3 Apple Watch. I really love. I now, as you probably notice, I wear it every day now. I mean, I just really love this thing. I keep changing watch face. I'm now on the Siri watch face that was unique to the Series 3. I don't know why, because it's kind of a weird...
Did it die?
No, it's just this...
Oh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, you dimmed
it. I didn't know you could... I didn't know it would do that. That's interesting.
It dimmed
So the Siri watch face lets you scroll through other information.
That is nice. I'm going to use that one as soon as I get my...
And then you push it to go back to the main... it's interesting. And you see, of course, I get the only thing I don't like about the Siri watch face, it only has two complications, the date, which I need, so I'm not going to turn that one off, and one extra, and I use that for, as always, drafts. Still a big drafts fan. But I do like this capability, scrolling through. So there's news. They really love that sunrise-sunset information for some reason, which I find less than useful.
Yeah.
My schedule.
The sun comes up when it comes up.
Right. It's going to be here.
You know, usually.
Yeah, it's going to be a little warmer today. Got my calendar. You know, it's kind of cool.
So hopefully, Jason has a bit of a flu, so he's not coming in today.
There's no such thing as a bit of a flu.
But hopefully he will come in, and then we can do our Android Watch versus Apple Watch.
Yeah, there's
comparison.
No real good choice. Yeah,
no.
Apple Watch is it.
Yeah, because we did on Screensavers last week. We did Siri versus Hey Google, and Hey Google pretty much won that. And for sure, opening with the fingerprint reader versus opening face.
So you're down.
Yeah.
You're down.
But I think this is our week. So hopefully, it'll be this
comeback
week or
time.
Next. Yes.
There are many people who say, "Yeah, but so what? You don't need a watch." Which
I know. Well, I mean,
true.
Jason doesn't use a watch, so that's why it doesn't matter. I need a watch. I'm a watch needer.
Again, and I think and I said this before, I think what happens is you find the one application on the Apple Watch that makes it a necessity. And I hadn't found that yet. Exercise wasn't it. You know, the watch, it's a terrible watch. That's, you know, most of the time that's what you see, nothing. But now having this drafts on here, and being able to, you know, I sent you a text message that I was on my way. I sent that from the watch.
Oh.
So Siri, the ability to dictate is huge. And the drafts app, which if you don't know about, I mentioned as an app cap a few weeks ago. And I've got a blog post about it. Those two things alone, I think, have made me. And, of course, exercise, because I use it every time I exercise. They've really made this a must wear for me. So I'm now officially an Apple watcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have many, like the health, like it's not as exciting to work out if I don't know I'm competing with a bunch of different people and knowing I've reached
my
goals.
Do you use it for music playback?
Mm-mm. No, I use it for controlling music when I am stopped at stoplights.
Because they took out some features and they've announced now they're putting them back in terms of what you can control with your
To change pretty.
It's
changing.
Don't change that.
Yeah, I've noticed that because I use Pocket Casts in the car, and usually, like, I can just change a podcast sometimes, and then sometimes it doesn't work, and then it comes back. It's very weird. Last week, we tried to have Siri give us the news, and what I've noticed is it's different for me anyway. If you say, "Hey Siri," give me the news, or if you press the Siri button. So I'm just going to press the button and see what it does.
This is the feature that's going to be for the HomePod.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm not sure I understand.
I know.
Okay.
You don't.
Let's try that again. Give me the news.
Here's some news.
Okay. So then.
So it doesn't talk to you.
No, but if I say, "Hey Siri, give me the news."
Here's the latest news from NPR, or if you prefer, say, "Hey Siri, switch to Fox News."
So it would have read that to you if you hadn't done that.
Oh, it would have?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Let's try that again. No.
Nope, not that way.
"Hey Siri, give me the news."
Here's the latest news from NPR. Or if you prefer, say, "Hey Siri,
you could probably
switch
stop
to Fox
saying
News,
that every time.
Switch to CNN or switch to the Washington Post instead."
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Sen.
So this feature is now in iOS, we think, because of HomePod. Good luck stopping that, by the way.
Stop. I paused it, he says. Mr. Siri.
Okay, Mr. Siri.
But why would it have a different... Why pressing the button and talking? Why? Because
you're not going to press the button on the HomePod. You're going to say, hey, you know, hey, Shlomo, play my news. And so I think this maybe wasn't even intended for the iPad or the iPhone, but it just kind of leaked into it because of this sucker.
Interesting.
Which is actually just a fabric covered toilet paper roll. But it gets you the sense, the idea, the shapes, the size, not the heft, because it's really fairly light, of the HomePod.
All right. So I have another thing to show you here.
By the way, that's just parody for Google Home and Amazon Echo, because they've both done that forever. This thing, I made the inventor of this cry.
Okay. So do you remember you used to do a show, obviously you remember, called I'd Fund That?
I'd Fund That Go Fund Yourself.
Was it called?
Well, it was called I'd Fund That, but in this case, he demonstrated, he said, we're going to make USB keyboards with actual typewriter functionality, keys, the return carriage, just like a typewriter. And I said, go fund yourself. Nobody's going to spend $180 on this.
So let's.
Apparently,
Brian,
I was wrong.
Brian forgives you. Brian wrote me this letter. It's been almost 4 years since I was on I'd Fund That.
You know why? Because he's basically thumbing his nose. Leo didn't really know anything.
We were all rewatching it on YouTube. So funny and fairly cringy. But the insights you guys provided were spot on and accurate.
What?
It was just sheer grit and determination that allowed us to ship the original Quirky Writer and now the new refreshed Quirky Writer S. And Leo, I appreciated personally the kind words of support after the show and the subsequent tweet after.
That's because he was crying. Well, he wasn't. Okay, tears probably weren't coming out of his eyes. But
I feel bad. That's why
I felt terrible, and that's why we actually.
Anymore.
It's because of this product we stopped doing the show because I said I can't do this anymore. I can't dash founders' hopes, and in this case, I was completely wrong.
Right, and Brian has forgiven you. Obviously, it's
Thank
kind
you,
of
Brian.
Cool timing
to
hear from you because starting this January, I left my day job at Anki Robotics and started full time running Quirky Toys Incorporated.
Nice.
We plan to launch a couple of new products this year as well, so it's exciting and terrifying at the same time. Here we go, and let's keep in touch.
Now, this is interesting because this is I don't remember if the original Quirky Writer was using old keyboards, but this is obviously not an old.
Mm-mm.
This is brand new, made specifically for the iPad. Because look, it's got iPad keys. And
so let me open.
This is really interesting. I love this. Does it do anything?
Yeah.
The carriage return?
Yeah, it just.
It just did it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Docs. Let's open a dock.
Okay. We can't quite see the screen. Well, it's all right. I want to see the keyboard. So. We'll just accept that it's typing.
Accept that it's.
Oh, good. Look at that. We have the capability. We're pulling back. So let's create a new document.
Quirky.
It's well named because it's kind of quirky.
But like QWERTY, right? Like
yeah, QWERTY slash quirky.
Okay, so.
So the idea is.
So, it was the best. Of times, it was the blurs.
So Tom Hanks makes, you know, the software version of this. That you can get a variety of different typewriters on the iPad. We've showed it before. In fact, I think it might have been an AppCap. But this is an actual, you know, typewriter-style keyboard. It still baffles me, but I guess I was just wrong. There's a novelty factor that people want this.
I like
How much is it?
That is a really great question. Do I have that in the doc, how much it is?
I'll look.
Quirky Writer S. It is $299.
$300.
$300.
Now how much would you pay?
Okay, so it can connect to an Android phone. It can connect.
Actually, they have less expensive ones as well.
So
you can get it for $150 at Walmart.
Oh, is that the Quirky Writer S or the Quirky
That's
Writer?
The old, the older version. No, that's a. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. That's a knockoff.
Oh.
So he's already being knocked off by the Chinese folks. Let's go to the original. Accept no substitute. Quirky Toys at quirkywriter.com. I think it is a work of art. You know, and that I have to say, we only saw a prototype. But the final version, Brian, you did a great job. I mean, it's really gorgeous. Dual encoders with volume and mouse scroll functions, wireless Bluetooth connectivity up to 3 separate devices. There's even a wired USB mode with NKRO support. It uses cherry blue clicky keys, which sound great. Integrated tablet stand, so it fits right in there. Macro programmable aluminum return bar, so that return bar can do a variety of things.
Do you love the sound?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really clicky. That's those Cherry MX Blues are great. They're really, I love those switches.
I'm writing your biography because I will tell you, as a writer myself, this makes me feel like more creative. It makes me feel like I want to write the great American novel or your unauthorized biography.
$299 on the website, Quirky Writer S, $299, $300. Limited quantities, free shipping in the U.S. You know, if you were on the show again, I'd say, gosh, I wouldn't be mean. I'd just say, gosh, Brian, I just don't know who would buy this. Obviously, I was wrong. Somebody would, but not me. $300, would you buy it?
Yeah, I if I were retired and ready to write when I retire.
So that's what's interesting. You know, I mean, these inexpensive, you can get a $100, Bluetooth keyboard or even less. If you want an Apple one, it's more. But it doesn't have as much key travel. This really is.
Let me try it.
I haven't tried it. Ooh.
Write some of your biography.
Oh.
That's good.
Oh.
Does it feel good?
Wow.
I'll let you borrow it for a while.
It missed the first three words I typed, but other than
that. Weird. It must have been just disconnected for a second.
He says it'll keep up better if you use the USB mode, the physically connected mode.
Did you already say this? The volume key is the paper scroller thing on the side. So I think it's also like a nice little desk.
Oh, you know what? It
ornament.
Actually does feel good.
See? Now who's crying now, Leo?
And even because it's the app, it's a keyboard, it even has autocorrect and all that.
Yeah.
It's got pause, break, print screen, sys request, page up, page down. And some of this stuff won't work on an iPad, of course. So this could be used with any, this is really a Bluetooth keyboard that could be used with a variety of devices.
But then there were like control tab. That's how I use. I don't think that works to get, whatever you call it. I don't know. System switcher, program switcher, app switcher.
I presume, though, this is all macro. Yeah, there you go. See, that worked.
Oh, it did? Oh, yeah. Quirky tab.
It's quirky tab.
Okay.
You have to have the quirky key, which looks like a atomic symbol.
So you can connect to up to three devices on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really think it does feel good. It's kind of silly to buy an iPad and then have a
$200.
Physical $300 typewriter keyboard. But, if you were to get cherry blue switches on a keyboard for your computer, it'd cost you, close to that. Good keyboards are not cheap. So, Brian, I'm glad you survived my, I wish this did something.
I think it's the volume. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's two of them.
Oh. Yeah.
So, for those of you who remember typewriters, this is the platen knob or the platen knob, right? Turns the platen. Mm. So if you had paper, you turn this, take out the paper.
I think
it's more for people like your dad.
Yeah.
Who remember a physical typewriter.
I remember a physical typewriter. I remember a physical electric typewriter.
Yeah. I mean, that's in college. I used a manual typewriter to write all my papers. But I thought those days were gone. It's very, very cool. It's very cool.
I like it.
It has some real charm.
And I think the problem with the original one was the angle was a little off.
And imagine going to the coffee shop,
and
pulling that out. You'd get all the guys that come over and say, "Hey, babe, what the hell is that?"
Yeah, when I'm retired, if I happen to be single, then that's what I'm gonna do. Buy this
when you're retired from your husband. Yes. There's a certain charm to it. It's I wish you could get it down to $150, but I understand why you can't.
Yeah, maybe a little.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Mm-hmm. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. That's what I should have typed.
Mm-hmm.
The Shining.
Okay, we have time for a few questions, and I want to thank everyone who sent us questions.
Did we do news?
Oh, we didn't do news. Okay.
Because there's some news.
Yeah.
For instance, Apple, apparently, Craig Federighi announced at an all-hands meeting and then whisked off with the executives to an offsite that the next version of iOS is not going to enhance any existing Apple apps like Mail. It's not going to add a lot of new features. It's going to be one of those. And the Apple does this from time to time, and especially on the Macintosh, that is just a bug fix and performance fix. Clean up iOS. And that is a... It sounds like the fact that they announced it at a team meeting and then whisked off to an offsite, it sounds like this is like these are marching orders for the year 2018 for iOS. Interesting.
I had not read that. That was today?
It happened today. Oh. It came out, I think it was in Bloomberg.
Oh.
Actually, that's The Verge. But yeah, interesting, huh?
A report from.
Yeah, a report from, oh, it was Axios. That's it was Ina Fried. Ina Fried who got the scoop. Yeah, let's give Ina credit because it's a heck of a scoop. Apple delays iOS features to focus on reliability and performance.
Oh, that is a big story. Sorry, yeah. I missed that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Broke this morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm late often.
Right.
Checking the news. Checking the news. That's my job.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. I wonder if that affects it. I just downloaded the public beta, but I'm sure that that has.
Also, happened. Article. it was interesting. This was the Bloomberg article. Mark Gurman reporting with some others from Bloomberg. Talking a lot about Apple's custom chips and how they've really kicked into gear and they're doing some amazing custom chips. But buried in the article, buried, was the thing I was most interested in. New iPad later this year. New iPad later this year, and Apple's working on not one, not two, but three new Mac laptops, MacBooks, for sometime perhaps this year, not guaranteed this year.
I saw that, and I was interested in that because my dad, even though he just retired, he wants to get a new MacBook. And
now the problem is it didn't guarantee this year.
Mm-hmm.
It did say, though, and I, you know, Mark is very reliable. So it did say, and Mark is really good, that they're going to be, so the new iPad, we're, you know, like as if we all, we all know about that one, due to be released toward the end of the year, will probably also include the Apple design graphics engine and AI chip. Apple's move into GPU crushed the business of Imagination Technologies. We'd reported on that previously. And then the next paragraph, Apple's working on at least three updated Mac models, with custom coprocessors. That's, you know, the iMac Pro is the first to have a T2 chip built into it. It's an ARM chip that does a lot of the interesting things like secure enclave, power management. It even manages the RAM chips, so they don't have to have an expensive RAM controller on there. And they plan to put that in at least three updated Mac models, including updated laptops and a new desktop. That might be the Mac Pro that we all have been hearing about.
Right.
So in the context of a story about Apple's custom silicon, which is a great story, a little bit of a tidbit there. New iPad towards the end of the year and at least three updated Mac models.
So should someone, would you recommend someone buys an iPad now or a MacBook now, or should
no.
they wait?
No, I think, well, if you can wait till, I mean, that means September. If you can wait till September or October, so we're talking 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be, it's not imminent. Actually, that's to me more of the story because it could have been that they were going to announce a new iPad as they sometimes have done in the spring or the summer. This now kind of points towards a year-end release, as they've mostly done in the past, either right alongside a new iPhone or maybe the month after in October. So, yeah, if you need a new iPad, get one now. I think this is the iPad Pro we use. The 10.5-inch iPad Pro is it's the best iPad ever, easily, significantly a step above. And they have that very inexpensive $329 base model, which is priced right. Maybe if you think, I might want to get one in October, get the base model. It'll tide you along till the end of October. The other big story that came out fairly recently is that, and now we had been hearing, and I had not credited a lot of rumors that Apple's sales of the iPhone X were soft. And I didn't credit it. I really didn't. In fact, we talked about it in MacBreak Weekly. Renee Ritchie said, they don't know. Now it's coming from the Wall Street Journal. And that, to me, gives it a little bit more credibility. Apple to cut iPhone X production in the face of weak demand.
Hmm.
And they're quoting sources in the supply chain that says they're going down from what was 40 million iPhones planned for the quarter to 20 million. Other folks familiar with iPhone supply chain said Apple had cut orders for components used in the iPhone 10 by even more, by 60%. That's a significant drop. I didn't credit it when it came from DigiTimes in Taiwan and some of these less reliable rumor mills, but this is the Wall Street Journal. And I think that at this point we might have to say, man, maybe it is true that sales of the iPhone 10 are soft. Remember, this is not the only new iPhone. They also have an iPhone 8. So right. It may be that people are preferring the Touch ID-based iPhone 8. Maybe they want the bigger screen. It's unclear.
What about the Pixel do you think, are people waiting for the next Galaxy phone?
My gut tells me, and I don't have any facts to back it up. My gut tells me there's iPhone people and there's Samsung people and maybe there's Google people. And there's not a lot of crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Google person, you're interested in the Pixel 2, and maybe that was, by the way, a very big selling phone for Google, or the Samsung. You're looking because at the end of the month we're going to hear about the Samsung S9. Maybe people are, but that doesn't seem to me that there's much crossover. Like if you're an iPhone person, really your decision you have three decisions, but two decisions with then a fork afterwards. Your first decision is, do I get a new iPhone this year? I would say if you had an iPhone 7, you're probably not looking at buying an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 10. So that's decision one. Do I buy a new iPhone this year? Decision two, then the fork is, well, is it an 8 or a 10? And I think that's really what this story is reflecting, is that more people are deferring and more people, when they do buy, are buying the 8 than Apple expected. Apple thought, and I'm surprised, I thought the iPhone 10 would be the killer phone. It's to me, this is the best iPhone Apple's ever made, both in design and functionality. But I guess at least if this is to be believed, that's not the case. That's soft sales. If you're cutting the orders for iPhone 10 components by 60% over what your expectations were, that is a disappointing result.
Yeah.
We will know more. Apple's quarterly results come out, I think, next week.
This week, I think.
This week.
Maybe, I know there's a lot of results that come out this week.
It's either this week or next week, yeah.
Yeah, soon. It might be next week. There are a lot of, I think it's next week, but this week.
Offers Thursday its first report on iPhone 10 sales. Earnings for the three
Thursday.
Months ending December is Thursday. And so we may have some better idea, but the problem is Apple usually doesn't break out iPhone sales by individual types.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll know how iPhone sales in general are, but we won't know how the iPhone 10 is done relative to the iPhone 8. And they're still selling. Don't forget, they still sell the 6, the 7, as well as the 8 and the 10. That may also be what's going on, is that more people are choosing less expensive phones. This is, if there's anything in that story, it might just be that this is so expensive, people are not jumping for the $1,000 iPhone. They're saying, I'm going to get the $800, $700 iPhone instead.
Mm-hmm.
That would not surprise me.
All right, we have some feedback from Tommy from Ireland. He sent us a video about our show last week.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Leo. It's Tommy Weir from Ireland. I looked at last week's show and I noted that Leo had used the Photos app or camera app on his phone to blow up the text on the bottom of a power supply, something I do with depressing frequency. He might have been better off using the magnifier as part of the control center. It's got a few additional features, which I find useful. If you simply tap on settings, click on control center, customize controls, you can add the magnifier. This is something I've obviously already done. But then when you want to use your phone for this purpose, you can simply swipe up from the bottom and tap on the magnifying tool, which is a little...
The magnifying glass thing,
Apple TV app.
Yeah.
And then you can zoom in.
Oh.
Much as you've done. You can zoom in as much as you need. You can also lock the camera by hitting just that big button there. Unfortunately, it was moving, it appears.
Brilliant.
Over on the side, there's a little color control, and you can swipe between different color palettes, depending on your particular needs, if you need any. And within that, again, you can also adjust the brightness and contrast, which can be useful as well, depending on what, again, you're doing or what
this
kind of light
so
you're
in. So great.
And yeah. Even reverse, there's a little reverse color button down the bottom, which will invert things. So I find this very useful. Also, the flashlight, I use the flashlight for darkness. That's great.
That's a good thing.
Anyway, guys, keep it up.
Thank you, Tommy. And I do use a flashlight all the time. It's I find really great that we almost all of us now carry flashlights mm-hmm. with us. It's in our phone.
Yes.
But I had even seen that magnifier, but I had not enabled it in the control center. So that's great. And by the way, notice bullet journal user.
I did notice that he was a bullet journal. Yeah. That's how he's so organized and knows about the magnifier because of his bullet journal.
So I've turned it on, Tommy. Thank you. That is really fantastic. Look at this. If I want to get a close-up of my keys.
Yeah, I'd like to see how
much
dirt is in there.
You can zoom in. Look how much you can zoom in. You can really see the... That's like a microscope in your pocket.
Yeah.
Really a nice feature. And that's right there in the control panel. Just turn on the magnifying glass. There it is right there.
Good for figuring out if you have wax in your AirPods, that sort of thing.
Oh, man. Tommy, I love you. Is that his name?
Tommy. From Ireland.
I love that, Tommy. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, we have, okay, I don't know if we're going to be able to answer this question, and this might be an audience question, but Harry from the UK sent us an audio question that we can listen to right now, I think.
Hi, Megan. This is Harry calling from the UK. I just wonder whether you might be able to help. I listen to iOS Today every week and really get some good tips and tricks. And one of my New Year's resolutions was to see if I could get an app in the App Store. Coming from little understanding of how to build and deploy apps, I wonder whether there's any sort of recommendations you might have to try and help me reach this New Year's resolution. Thanks and keep up the good work.
So he wants, it doesn't mean download an app. He means he wants to publish an app in the App Store. That is a goal of so many people these days. What he didn't leave for us is information about his experience in the field. Or if you're a computer programmer, the advice would be different than if you're not, for instance. I know a lot of people, including my son, who are not particularly adept at programming, but who say, I know this app is going to make $1 million. That's much more problematic. You might be right. Your insight into this might be right. He wanted to write an app that would be for college kids. He's a college kid. He knows what the market needs. So that's valuable insight. But there are many, many more steps to getting an app in the App Store, or in fact, just in anywhere, succeeding in software, than just having a great idea. In fact, it turns out having the idea is the easiest part. We all have great ideas. Every morning in the shower, for something that would be, a device like we'll turn a typewriter into a USB keyboard or an app that would be just really great. And apps seem like they have a low barrier to entry. So that maybe is something a lot of people have. But really, the bottom line in all of this is ideas are a dime a dozen. They're literally almost worthless. It's all about execution. It's all about bringing something to the market. And then even if something is great, and we see this all the time in technology, even if something is like the best ever, it often fails due to lack of marketing, lack of consumer interest, bad positioning, badly run company. There's so many pitfalls along the way. The idea is the least of it. I can write down 20 good ideas a day easily. You can too. Anybody who's paying attention probably can. Mm-hmm. It's getting it to market. So if you have no programming skills, you've never started a business, you have no marketing skills, my advice is probably forget it. Honestly. Because really, you have the least part of this. You've now got to get programming skills or hire a programmer, marketing skills or hire a marketer, form a company. It is, trust me, making a company and having it be profitable and succeed is so much harder than anybody has any idea. That's much harder than getting an idea for an app. Okay. And by the way, even if you're just going to write the app yourself and put it in the App Store, you still have to put a company around it or there'll be no revenue. And there's taxes, there's employees, there's all sorts of issues you don't even know about yet.
But he didn't say he wanted revenue. Maybe he just wanted to get an app in the
App Store. Let's say the best case scenario. You're a programmer. You know how to program. You've written stuff before. And you just want to put an app there. You don't want to charge for it. You just want to be a good person. That's fairly easy. My recommendation, there are lots of courses for iOS programming. I think the best is free. It's in iTunes U. Stanford University, they update it every year to be up to date, the latest information. They bring in people from Apple. I think the course is now teaching you how to do it in Swift, which is Apple's programming language. That's probably the language of the future for iOS apps. So take that course. You can do it at your leisure, on your iPad, on your computer, in the iTunes U app. So get iTunes U, Stanford iOS programming course. Once you've done that, you know everything you need to know. You can download the Xcode environment for your Macintosh. Pretty much have to have a Mac to write software for iOS. It's not actually, I mean, you can technically do it on a Windows machine. The order of complexity higher. Get a Mac, write it on a Mac, then you send it to Apple. If they approve it, then it gets in the store. They may ask you to make some changes. It gets in the store. There are a few things you'll have to remember. It's not just programming. You need an icon. You need an artist. You need a designer. You need layout. You need to understand how UI works. You need to understand how iOS works. So there's going to be a learning curve for that. But that's the best case scenario. You don't want to make money. You don't need to make a company. You just, and you know how to program. You just want to make something on the App Store. But he didn't tell us what his experience level is. If you've not written a program, yeah, you can go to Elance. There are many sites you can go to where you can hire programmers. Elance is one of them, and hire a programmer. But remember, Mark Zuckerberg and the Winklevoss twins, who they had a great idea. They weren't programmers, the Winklevoss twins. They were big men on campus in Harvard. They were rowers, handsome, good-looking fellas. They had an idea for a social network for Harvard. Somebody said, oh, there's this freshman, Mark, who's a really good programmer. Mark's really good. And so they hired him. Mark ghosted, disappeared. And a few weeks later, Facebook is born. They sued him. They got, we think now, $15 million. But they had to sue him. It was a big battle to get their money. That happens a lot. You don't have a lock on your idea. And don't go to these places and say, well, you know, we can copyright, trademark. You're going to spend more money on lawyers' fees and have nothing to show for it. So I don't mean to be discouraging. I mean to be a realist. If all of these roadblocks, you go, I don't care, I'm going to do it, go for it. You can hire people to do all those things you don't know how to do. Make sure that you trust them.
All right, I'm going to follow up with you, Harry, from the UK. And if anyone else has advice for Harry, Megan at twit.tv. I'm going to find out some of the questions that Leo asked. We are going to help you. I am going to help you. It's important to have a realist and an optimist on your team.
Start with going to that class. That's a great one. And if you can get through that, then I feel a lot better about your chances. If you can't get through that, probably shouldn't pursue this idea.
Send your questions to Megan at twit.tv, or you can DM me on Twitter. I'm at Megan Maroney. I have lots more love videos, love audios. If you can't send a video or you don't want to send a video, that's fine. We'll answer your question anyway. And now it's time for our app cast.
Don, you're... Oh, I am dapper today.
We're white hats today.
I'm in my Panama hat.
I have a rabbit on my hat.
This is actually an interesting Panama hat.
Tell me about your Panama hat.
Oh, no, this is actually from Panama. Somebody brought me one made of paper.
That's from Panama, Jack.
I bought this in Ecuador, actually not Panama. So here's a tip. Panama hats are not from Panama. They're from Ecuador.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is I bought this when I was in Ecuador. So there. So it's a real Panama hat. Not a good one. A really good one could be thousands of dollars.
Oh, that
it's not
one's
a bad
from
one.
Panama Jack from Ecuador.
Yeah, this cool. is actually, I don't even know where this came from. This is made in Japan, so never mind.
Mine came from South Sydney.
I think my good Panama hat's at home.
Did someone from Australia bring you this hat over the weekend? The Australian students?
Yes. Oh. Those are... Oh, it's one of
the rabbits.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's not Aussie rules, I don't think. It's a football club.
South Sydney.
Yeah, it's a club, and it's a very good club. And they are called the Rabbits or the Hares. I'll look it up while you do your app cap.
So we wear.
There you go. South Sydney Rabbitons. Is that them? I don't think so. Is it?
Rabbitons? Rabbit. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
It might be the Rabbitohs.
Rabbit toes?
They're rugby.
Rabbit toes?
Out of Redfern. Yeah. Is that their logo? I think it is. The Rabbitohs.
Rabbit toes.
Yeah, since 1908. Great. Very, very. Yeah, this is them. Yep. South Sydney Rabbitohs. See, it says on the side, established 1908.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Rabbit toes. All right, we wear caps because apps, this rhymes with caps, and this is our favorite app of the week.
We look damn fine in hats.
We do. We look really good with hats, I think. Are you familiar with cognitive behavioral therapy?
CBT, you bet.
That,
I'm a fan.
I am also a fan. So I am not a doctor, but my understanding is you write down your feelings or you think about your thoughts and decide whether they're real or not.
That's a start.
You know, just like, I look ugly in a hat. Like, is that real?
Is that real?
Yeah.
Or is that just something in
my
head?
Obviously not real.
Not real. You look great in a hat.
So mood notes is sort of based on cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's a way to write down your mood, write down what you're thinking, feeling. And then you can establish trends and sort of look at.
This is valuable.
Yes.
Very useful.
So I'm going to get into some women's health issues now. Are you ready for that? I know you don't love this.
I'm just going to put my fingers in my ears. Go ahead.
But my mood changes drastically throughout the month. And sometimes I end up yelling at the people in my family. Sometimes I
And you don't know why.
Yeah.
Which is always amazing to me. It's like, you don't know why, really.
Right.
How old are you?
I know, exactly. And it fluctuates as you get older.
How often does this happen?
Yes.
Pretty regularly.
Right. And sometimes in the exact point of the month, not just, you know, sometimes in the middle of the month, sometimes other times in different cycles.
It's really amazing. And it's not just women. We don't know a lot of we don't know a lot about ourselves.
No, we don't.
We just kind of walk in mystery.
We do.
And everybody else is going, come on.
Yes.
You know why.
Right. So mood notes lets you easily log your mood.
Idea.
So it's basically
an iPhone.
It
works great
app,
with a typewriter keyboard.
Yes. Let's say there. So I have a mood today. How are you? I can just swipe up or down.
Send
I'm
this
feeling
to
pretty good
everybody
right now.
In my family.
And then I add a detail.
What kind of mood would you be in if you got a tip to buy this?
A tip to what
like
kind of
from your husband?
Oh, if
honey,
if my
you
husband
need
said
mood
you need
notes.
This. We do struggle with this a lot and keeping track of you know. So I know that when I'm yelling at him to take the trash out because he's a horrible person, that it's really not. He's not really a horrible person.
Well, he should take out the trash, and then you wouldn't have to yell at him.
So describe what's happening in the moment. About to.
By the way,
finish.
Just want to point out this isn't just for women, guys. Have cycles too.
You do.
Yes.
You do. Sometimes you're grumpier than other times.
You mean me personally? Yeah, but that's, well, that could be for a variety of reasons.
Right, but you could figure out
could
if those
be,
reasons are
it
real.
It could be situational or it could be biological. We don't know. That's right. Why you have the mood
yeah,
notes.
So about to finish iOS today. I select all my feelings. I'm feeling bold. I'm feeling cheerful, confident. Enthusiastic, excited. I'm grateful. I'm feeling grateful for having
nice.
This job and getting to work
nice.
With you every day.
Nice.
Am I feeling any negatives right now?
Not me.
I'm
feeling nothing but love.
I might feel, no, I don't feel any of these right at this moment. But many times when we finish the show, I feel frustrated, furious. but not right now.
Thank you for your honesty.
And then, you know, what... and it says where I am. So it says like North McDowell. It has my location. They don't send any of this stuff. This is kept private. And then I can enrich the entry by something bigger. How might you increase your involvement with causes larger than yourself?
That is, by the way, a great way to get out of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How might connecting with causes bigger than yourself be helpful? So you write that and then you say, I'm done. And then, you know, after I do this for a while, I'll have a trend, and I don't have any trends yet, but I can have insights, there's data, different settings. I can set reminders. So this is good. You know, just set a reminder for every day. I can set up a passcode. It also works with Touch ID so that, you know, nobody else can see what your moods are, because that's something that you want to keep private.
Yeah, it's a diary. Yeah.
It looks better on the iPhone. It's a greatly designed app. It's by us too, who also helped create Monument Valley. So it's a very pretty app, which I think is important to something that you're going to look at every day. Mood Notes, it's $3.99. Totally worth it.
I should do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has an Apple Watch app as well.
Nice.
So that you can.
Oh, I can. Maybe that would have to be more push button-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Scribble. And
nice.
Mood Notes. I highly recommend it, not just for women and their cycle, but you're right.
We all have our cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. You know what I'm in the mood for right now? A scary mystery.
Uh-oh.
We have made the room an app cap before.
Mm-hmm.
The room one, the room two. When the room three came out, I stopped picking it. It's like, okay, I get it. There's another room. You know, this one is, I think, culminates the room saga. This is the best room ever. They've learned from the past. The engine is the...
What was that?
That was terrifying.
What was that, me?
That was just a jump scare. I mean, that was a mood. I don't know. Kevin, what's your mood right now?
My face from below or something.
I got a tweet this morning, actually. This actually came from somebody who said, I am never watching your show again.
Oh, sad.
If you don't pick this as your pick
gracious.
Of the week.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's quite a threat.
Then he said, just kidding. But what he was trying to say is, this is so good. And I agree. It's The Room, the new version of The Room, Old Sins.
Oh, you know what? We can't see it.
We should. Well, it's very dark. Oh. We should probably go back, because I wonder if I can. Yeah. Let's quit. And are you getting my audio? Because the audio on this is spectacular. We'll start at the beginning. This is The Room, Old Sins. I can have three people playing, so I can have a profile for mom, dad, and the kids. Let's make this mom's profile. All right, so we have a new profile, and I'm going to create a new game. There'll be a little bit of a tutorial here, but that's actually not a bad way to get into it. This game is very atmospheric. It's puzzles, but it's scary. So there's jump scares and things. It starts in the attic. It's really dark, isn't it? You know what? Maybe if I can turn... I'm going to turn up the brightness. You probably want to... This is as dark as it was when I was playing it, and it was fine. But for purposes of television, turn the lights down low. Mm. I've searched every room in the house but this attic, it says. I won't get much further in the dark. Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, there's a giant light there. Swipe the screen to look around. Do you hear the rain?
Yes, I do hear the rain.
You hear it's a very subtle sound. I'm sorry, it's so dark. I'll need to turn on that floodlight, so let's double tap the floodlight. Oh, yeah, this is nice. You see, there's once you kind of can see things, there's beautiful detail. Reminds me a little bit of BioShock, kind of retro. So let me switch down. It's a native iPad, so it's very touch-focused. I think it's broken. I'll need the screwdriver from my case. So let's go over to the case and double tap. Now, the case, like a lot of objects in the room, and this newest, they're physical objects that you kind of have to swipe or touch to get them to do the thing. Now, the tutorial's giving me the arrows. You won't always get arrows. Oh, you can zoom in. Oh, wait a minute. My notebook holds all the information I was given for this assignment. Let's read the notebook. Don't you kind of love the feeling? And hear the rain?
Mm-hmm.
So... these notes will give you some idea. You're in the old Waldegrave Manor. Mrs. Abigail Lockwood inherited this and burdened with debt, her substantial debt of her family. Collector's report. There's some information. Here's a map of the manor, and the rest of the notebook is empty. So we're going to zoom out. I'm going to also need this screwdriver, so it's going to go. I have an inventory on the left here. Now I'm going to zoom out a little farther. And let's fix the lamp. So this is a very easy first. Whoa. Did you see that?
There was something, but then the lights went on. The lights went out.
So what I need to do is turn on, well, turn on this lamp. So I'm going to unscrew with a screwdriver, unscrew the lamp. You actually have to do this, by the way. So I actually unscrewed it. Let's open this up. Oh, there's a circuit, and it's not working.
No.
This moves. This moves.
We've got to complete the circuit.
So there's a copper wire, copper wire. Ah, the circuit is disconnected here. There's copper wire there. This thing slides over. This slides up. Let's complete the circuit. Slide that over in there. Aha! The light is working.
Is it a dollhouse?
It's a dollhouse. Should we go over and look?
Yes.
It says a dollhouse. Something isn't right. Well, let's investigate the dollhouse. So here's this. That's interesting. This is an important part of it, but it feels like something's missing there, doesn't it? You know? And then let's go down here. Ooh, look at these gates. You know what's interesting? There's gears there. Do you think these gears do anything? They do. I just can't get them to do it. Oh,
there.
Ooh.
We go.
Watch this. See that door? Watch the door while I open the gate.
What? The door opened when
it's
you
It's a pretty nice dollhouse, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, the light came on.
I don't think we
there.
Should go inside that dollhouse.
Come on, let's go in. What do you think? The surface looks unusual. I'll need something from my case. Back to the case we go. There is something in here we could use. I'm not going to go much further. This is still the tutorial. But you get the idea. Very atmospheric. Really fun puzzles. A couple of jump scares. It's a mystery. And it's fun. If you haven't played the room, room 1, 2, and 3 are great. Similar to this. And they were app caps in the past. But this one, this is their pièce de résistance. The Room Old Sins. And, you know, this is the kind of game you were doing it. Two people could play and have some fun with, right? The Room Old Sins. $4.99. No ads. No upsell. No in-app purchases. That's the game and worth probably 10 times as much. It is a fantastic puzzle game. Just came out. The Room Old Sins is my app cap. Isn't that fun?
Yep.
It's kind of scary in here. There are no vampires in this room. It's not a supernatural mystery, but it's spooky.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
It's a little bright in here now.
Yeah.
I liked it in the dark.
I did too. Yeah, thank you. That's perfect. I think this is perfect.
That concludes this episode of iOS Today, my boys and girls.
Subscribe to the show on whatever subscription tool you use for your podcast.
You know, the easiest way, go to twit.tv, our website, twit.tv/iOS, and we have a subscribe button that you can subscribe to audio or video. We have both. This is a show, very, very visual show. This is a show you might want to subscribe to the video, but it's, you know, a lot of people, as our caller earlier mentioned, listen, which is fine. We love it. If you subscribe, you'll get every episode the minute it's available. We record Tuesday mornings, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern. That's 1700 UTC. You can watch us record it, and then you'll see all the things that we have to edit out later. That's twit.tv/live. If you do that, you can turn the lights on now, Kevin. This is a little weird. If you do that, you should join us in the chat room, irc.twit. But I do leave the rain because I like that.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
irc.twit.tv. But again, if you can't watch live on-demand versions, always available. If you'd like to visit, we'd love to have you in studio. Just make sure you don't surprise us because we don't want to be scared. Just email tickets@twit.tv. One more request. I know I'm asking a lot of you today. But every year, we do a Twit survey. This year's survey is short, just a few minutes, a few questions. It helps us understand better who's watching. And it means we don't have to track you in any way on our website or anything like that. We refuse to do that. Sometimes advertisers say, we want trackers on our banner ads. No, we won't do that. But we do would like to know a little bit more about you. And advertisers want to know a little bit about you, too. So it helps us a lot. Usually we get 20 or 30,000 people. We'd like to beat that number this year. Just go to twit.tv/survey. I understand. I'm asking a lot of you. But it really helps us, and I appreciate it. And don't get too upset if you, you know, you don't fit the categories, you know. These are some basic categories, but, you know, answer what you can. You can always email us if you have other questions. We promise, though, we don't do anything with your email address. We don't do anything with your information. We just give advertisers the information from the total survey. You know, 36% listen to iOS Today in their car, that kind of thing. It's very helpful to us, though. twit.tv/survey. Thank you very much for doing that.
See you next week.
That's it on iOS Today. Bye-bye. Ah! Look, a HomePod fell out of the ceiling. That's not the room I'm talking about. Not the time. Oh, hi, Mark. I did not hit her. I did not. That's what he was doing. It was so fast, I thought it was just a jump cut. A jump scare.
I thought it was me.
It's Tommy Wiseau.
That was a picture of me.
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.